Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of the Experimental Homesteader Radio Show. I'm your host, Sherry Ann Richardson, and today's topic is working with natural fibers, which is one of my favorite mediums to work with. Of course, as some of you know, we raise our own fiber goats here, and we also raise sheep. I have raised Angora rabbits, and I do grow a lot of the fiber-producing plants as well. There are a lot of really cool things you can do with fiber. You can spin yarn, you can weave cloth, you can make paper, weave your own baskets. You can felt a number of items, including rugs, slippers, curtains, and clothes. You know, if you can imagine it, you can felt it. You can even use the yarn you spin to knit or crochet with, giving your products a very unique look, giving you an advantage at craft shows, or if you promote your work online, you can have something that nobody else has. And while we're talking about that, if you're going to raise your own fiber animals or you're going to grow your own fiber plants, you might want to consider growing some dye plants as well, so your natural products are dyed with natural dye. All of these items are easy to grow or raise organically, including the animals, and you don't need the chemicals to process them. Unless that's just what you want to do. With all of these wonderful fibers, or wonderful uses for natural fiber, do you know where to get natural fiber? Yes, it comes from plants and animals. The first natural fibers we're going to talk about today are those that comes from plants. And I want to invite any of you listening live that grow your own plant fibers to call in. That number is 213-325-3434. I'd love to hear from you and hear what your experience has been or what your favorite natural plant fiber is. There are a number of plants that fiber is made from. The most recognized natural fibers are, of course, cotton, flax, and hemp. I think everybody pretty well knows what those are. But there are many other plants that produce natural fibers, including some varieties of hibiscus, yucca, hollyhock, nettles, and I do mean that wild plant that grows everywhere. And by the way, nettles is edible in addition to a fiber-producing plant. Sunflowers, the kapoke tree, which is a tropical tree, and lupines. In fact, you can collect natural fiber from a number of plants. The big question is whether or not the fibers are long enough to spin or weave, plus how strong they actually are once they are made into fabric, because, of course, you don't want a fiber that's just going to snap apart when you pull on it. That's going to be useless to use. So you really want to test the fibers of the plants you're thinking about using them from and see if they have some strength. Each type of fiber requires a specific harvesting and spinning method. Although once you begin to understand the various methods, it won't take long to figure out which method to use for each type of fiber. And in fact, you may have a favorite method that you can use for a number of different plants. Some plants require being laid out in the sun until the outer bark begins to dry, then boiling the remains in a soda lye to further separate the fibers from the rest of the plant material. As you can imagine, this is not only smelly, but it's very time-consuming, and because you're using soda lye, you're going to want to do this outside, maybe over a bonfire, using a cast iron pot or something. You're really not going to want to do this inside. Another method is to dry the plant material, then run it through a machine designed to separate the fibers. And you can make one of these machines at home. It's the same type of machine that they would use to break flax with. But this method is not very practical, you know, because if you make the machine, of course, you've got to have a place to store it. And it does take quite a bit of effort to do this, even though you are working with a machine. Yet another method requires soaking the plant material in water until it begins to separate. Then you can remove the fibers and hang them to dry. But you don't want to hang them in a sunny place. You want to hang them in a cool, dark, and dry place. Okay, and that's very important. You don't want sunlight hitting these fibers once you have them. You don't want them to start breaking down and disintegrating, and that could easily happen. One of the easiest methods, and the method most suited for home production, in my opinion, is to allow the material to dry, then strip the fibers by hand from the rest of the plant. And again, this is time-consuming. This is hand labor. But I think you're going to find you get the best results doing this. I recommend that you experiment with the different types of plant material and just find out what works best for you, what method that you like. And you might be wondering, what's the point of doing this? It does seem like a lot of work, and let me tell you, it is a lot of work. But it's satisfying and relaxing work. There's nothing like being able to say that the yarn that you spun, the baskets that you wove, the paper that you made, whatever it is, that not only did you make it by hand, but you actually produced the materials that went into making it. And these items are just priceless. I mean, I just can't tell you how much you will cherish these items. And the people that you give them to are going to cherish them. Or, like I said, if you sell them, you're going to have very one-of-a-kind items. It's gratifying knowing that you can rely on yourself for your basic needs, such as cloth, paper, and other items you use on a daily basis. And if you've never seen homemade paper, you can make it out of a variety of plant materials. You can put flowers in it. You can put leaves in it. You can put whatever you want in it. And as I said, it's very, very unique. It's not something you're going to go down to the corner store and buy. And now that you have a basic idea of where plant fibers come from, we are going to discuss animal fibers. But first, I'd like to invite you to call in again. Our guest line phone number is 626-657-2120. And you're listening to the Experimental Homesteader Radio Show. And I'm your host, Sherry Ann Richardson. And my website is experimentalhomesteader.com. That's experimentalhomesteader.com. And on that website, we have a lot of information that you might be interested in, especially if you're back to basic self-sufficiency homesteading. If you can, we even have elegant cooking recipes. We have animal husbandry. And, of course, we have gardening. We can't forget the gardening. Lots and lots of interesting plant data on there. And you can also find a link to my Dreams and Destinations blog, which is my writing blog. And on there you will find lots of links to my various books, including 101 Self-Sufficiency Gardening Tips and 101 Secret Gardening Tips. And Secret Gardening Tips doesn't mean, oh, you can use vinegar to kill weeds. No. It means, what else can you do with plant material besides look at it, put it in cut flower arrangements, and eat the obvious things like fruits and vegetables. I'm sure you'll enjoy that book. Okay. And the next type of fiber we're going to talk about is the type that comes from animals. You do not kill these animals like a lot of people think. You don't even harm the animals when you harvest their fibers. You either brush it out or shear them. And if you're careful when you shear them, you're not even going to nick them. I have hand sheared and I have also electric sheared, and it has been very, very rare that I have ever nicked an animal. And I'm not an experienced shearer. I had to learn because I couldn't find anybody to come here and do it because I don't have enough animals. And nobody wanted to come for two animals. You know, it just wasn't cost effective. So, in fact, once the animals know what's going on, which can take a couple of years depending on the age of the animal you get them, that you get them, and what kind of training they've had previously, they really don't mind the process. I give my animals a little bit of grain or some kind of special treat when I'm shearing them, and then afterwards I spend a little bit of time talking to them and petting them and giving them some more treats, and this really helps them to look forward to being sheared. I also trim hooves when I'm shearing because it just makes sense. They're already up there. You might as well do it. You might as well look at your animal, make sure there's nothing going on with the animal. So if there is, you can get the vet out and deal with it, or you can go to your animal cabinet and you can pull out the supplies that you need to take care of the problem, because it's always better to take care of the problem as soon as you can find it. Okay, and some of the more popular fiber animals are Angora and Cashmere goats, sheep, alpacas, and llamas, but these are not the only types of animals that produce fiber. For example, there is a horse that produces fiber, believe it or not, and of course, Angora rabbits that I'm sure you're all familiar with the Angora fabric, and Angora goats produce mohair. I don't know why they're named Angora when they actually produce mohair, but that's the way it is. And I'll tell you something else while we're on that subject. A lot of people say the mohair is no good once the animal gets 3 years old. I can tell you that my Angora buck is going on 4 this year, and his fiber is just as nice as it was after the first year, you know, because, of course, the baby fiber is a lot softer. But I do raise him organically, and I do brush him when I need to. I pick out the cockle burls. You know, I'm very, very happy with his fiber, even at this stage of the game. Raising fiber animals is not difficult. In fact, most of these animals are a little bit shyer than their dairy or meat counterparts. The hardest part, in fact, is keeping their fiber clean. With rabbits, this is not as hard, since it seems these animals are usually kept in a cage. Larger animals, such as goats or sheep, graze, and if there's sticker burrs or other things in their pathway, you're going to find this stuff in their coats. You can put conditioner in when you give them a bath, and that might help a little bit, but it's really just staying on it and getting the stuff out just as soon as you find it. Just gently teasing the hair and pulling it out. Another thing to watch out for is muddy areas. While you can wash the animals or the fiber and get the mud out, oftentimes the fiber will felt on the animals, making it unusable. And when I find this happening on my fiber animals, and it does happen, especially where they dip their head in the trough, I cut it out just as soon as I see it. And that way it doesn't seem to spread or get quite as big of a chunk. Some people like to use blankets on their fiber animals, but this is usually not necessary. For the highest fiber harvest rate, keep the pasture area and their living quarters as clean and dry as you can. You may lose some fiber still, but you won't lose as much. And I'll tell you, I usually lock my animals up if it's raining outside or if it's really, really snowy. That way they can't go out and get their fiber all wet and nasty. Just makes sense that way. And I have a big enough barn that they can still exercise in. You know, I don't cage my animals. I let them kind of free range in their stall. So they do get plenty of exercise. And also be aware that some fiber animals, such as cashmere and angora goats, have horns. Do not remove these horns. In the industry, the removal of the horns is known as disbudding. Fiber animals need their horns because they use them as a cooling system. Removal of these horns could cause your animal to overheat and die. And yes, horns can be dangerous. I understand that. When you go out there and you work with these animals, you need to be aware of those horns. I suggest putting them on a milk stand and closing it over their head when you're shearing them or when you're trimming their hooves. And this way, you don't have to worry about those horns coming back on you and you not seeing it. Okay, and so once you have the animal fiber that you've either brushed or sheared off of these goats or rabbits or sheep or whatever other fiber animal you've chosen, you need to know what the next steps are. The first step is to clean it, and this is how you do it. Fill the washing machine with hot water, and I mean pure hot water. Add a drop or two of liquid laundry soap made for wool or other natural fibers. Agitate the machine to mix the soap into the water and turn the washer off. And make sure you've turned the washer off, okay? Fill small mesh laundry bags with small amounts of fiber and put them in the washer water. You don't want to fill this up so full that the fiber can't move around and get clean, okay? It's just like you wouldn't overfill your washing machine. And you want to gently push the bags of fiber down into the washing machine water so they're completely covered with water. And again, make sure your washing machine is turned off. You don't want it turning on and agitating and catching your hand in there, let alone it'll felt the fiber, okay? Close your washing machine lid and allow the fiber to set in the water for 30 minutes. No longer, set yourself a timer, okay? Once 30 minutes is up, you want to go in, you want to turn the washer to the spin-only cycle, okay? You don't want any water running into the machine or onto the fiber. Spin only. Spin the fiber out and hang the bags on the clothesline, if you have a way to shade your clothesline, okay? Or over your tub to drip dry. Again, you don't want to hang this fiber in the full sunlight. You want to put it someplace where it's kind of shaded, all right? And some washing machines you're going to have to stand with to make sure that water doesn't start running while it's spinning out. And this washing process may require repeating 2 to 3 more times until the fiber is clean. But make sure the water temperature remains the same each time you wash the fiber or it could felt. So this means you may not be able to wash the water back or wash the fiber back to back. You may have to wash it, let it drip dry for a little bit. An hour or two later or a day later, wash it again. Okay, and you can look at the fiber and tell if it's clean. I really like to wash my fiber before I work with it. I know some people don't. That's your choice. But this is the way I do it. And once the fiber is clean, or in the case of plant material, once it is free of debris, because you don't need to wash plant material, obviously, the next step is to card the fibers so they are all growing in one direction. And this process is easy. You can use hand combs to brush the fiber. And that's all carding is. It's using 2 combs to brush the fiber so the materials go in one direction. Just like your hair. When you brush it, you want to think about brushing your hair because your fiber should look just like hair, smooth and sleek and in one direction, okay? Once you're happy with the fiber and the way it looks, the next step depends on what you're going to do with it, and this will require additional research on your part. For example, if you're going to spin it, you're going to take that fiber and you're going to roll it up into what's known as a roll leg. Think about a toilet paper roll and the way toilet paper goes on it. Okay, this is sort of what a roll leg looks like, except, of course, it's not that tight because after you've carded the fiber, it's going to be light and airy, which is what you want. Okay, if you're going to weave it as raw fiber or turn it into a basket or use it for paper, there's going to be a different method. Okay, so again, you're going to have to research this because I would have no idea what you was going to do. All right. And if you want additional information on working with natural fibers or small-scale homesteading, you can visit my website, again, experimentalhomesteader.com, and that's E-X-P-E-R, imentalhomesteader.com. All right. And I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Again, we have a few more minutes, and I'd like to invite you to call in. My name is Sherry Ann Richardson, and I'm your host on the Experimental Homesteader. Our guest call-in line is 626-657-2120. And we do have this show every other Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. We talk about a lot of aspects of homesteading, from gardening to raising animals to plant fibers to working with herbs. I invite you to send me an email. If you're an expert in an area and you would like to be on my show, again, send me an email. My email address is sherryannrichardson@exoticgardening.com. And I'll spell that for you. That is sherryannrichardson@exoticgardening.com. Okay, and that's all the time we have for today. I hope to see you back here on November 15th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, where we will be talking about indoor plant care. And just to let you know, we're not going to be talking about just your common everyday plants. We're going to be talking about tropical plants. We can address annual plants if you like, such as petunias, which we'll do fine for a while indoors. And we're also going to be talking about some of the plants that you might be getting or giving as holiday gifts and how you can enjoy those long after the holiday season is over. So again, I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Experimental Homesteader, which was on working with natural fibers. And I hope you all have a good week.
Geico presents Sharing versus Oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.